Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One college program used to special treatment is in line for some tough reality. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. And yesterday, I just mentioned this just a little bit. David, our engineer, does a fabulous job on the ones and twos. I'm telling you, he is Eminem, that last scene in 8 Mile. He's fantastic back yonder. All the while watching either playing a game on his phone or watching wrestling highlights. So he's fantastic back there, but he's a Buckeyes fan. He is a big Ohio State fan. And I mentioned this just a little bit yesterday. And I got some not pushback. I think people, I believe, have trusted me enough that I'm going to give some unbiased, unvarnished opinions. But what I said about Ohio State yesterday is they're in line to have their loss to Oregon count more for a principle that the College Football Playoff Committee has not only put in writing but publicly commented on. That the theory that if you lose a game while playing without an important player, that loss will be discounted. And I said Oregon beat Ohio State playing without its top player and won the game. So Ohio State's loss should actually cost more. And so a college program used to special treatment, yeah, that's Ohio State. Ohio State's pretty. And everybody think back to – there was a girl that I was in her class probably all but 1 or 2 years. We were the same age. She had a boyfriend every minute of her existence from second grade to graduation. Do you know what? She's 53 years old now. Do you know what life's been for her? It's been pretty easy. Do you know why? Life's easy for pretty people. It just is. You got options. You got people wanting to do stuff for you. You don't know what Ohio State is? Gosh, they're pretty. When you have a brand that you have made a priority, oh, you, and I'm not kidding, thousands of people who have been food for worms for decades. Thousands of people over about 130 years have built the Ohio State Buckeyes football brand. It's pretty. You win that much, You have that kind of rivalry, which honestly, you know what nobody ever does? The career resumes of Ohio State and Michigan, they play some great games against one another, not in the last decade and a half very often. You look at the total tally for what Ohio State's done and what's Michigan done, it ain't close. Ohio State's really special. And the tough reality is, you can walk that L to Pasadena, Buckeyes. You are not getting into the playoffs. The committee has addressed this particular provision in writing. If a ranked team has a loss in which it played without an important player, that loss will be discounted. It won't cost you as much. Google your computer. You can see the criteria, okay? You can read it yourself. I won't. A committee member, no less than the chair at the time, Kirby Hocutt. When he was the chair, was he at Miami or Texas Tech? Trying to remember.
Tech.
Okay, Texas Tech. He was the chair of the committee. And he was asked, after Clemson lost to Syracuse and wound up a couple of weeks later number two, Oklahoma had lost to Iowa State, considered a bad loss, and they were at four. Well, how is Clemson at two? Kirby Hocutt said, well, they lost their quarterback, so we're not going to hold it against them very much. Quote, we are aware of things that transpire in particular games. Clemson's quarterback came into that game against Syracuse hobbled, looked like he was playing with an injured ankle. He was not 100% to begin with, and then when he was concussed in the second quarter, he missed the remaining part of that second quarter and the second half. They had a bye week. He came back 2 weeks later, appeared healthy, and is back at full strength. If that wasn't crystal clear enough, he pulled the curtain back completely. There was no such injury that the selection committee has talked about or is aware of in Oklahoma's loss to Iowa State. Folks, Clemson, they were missing Kelly Bryant. Oklahoma, they looked healthy to us. Missed opportunity, Bob Stoops. Who would have been the quarterback? Was that Baker? He had six broken ribs. He took a B12 shot before the game or whatever would cover that up. Took the flak jacket off. That's the reason it didn't look so bulky. He had six broken ribs. That's why we lost to Iowa State. There was no such injury that the selection committee has talked about or is aware of in Oklahoma's loss to Iowa State. Folks, they're on record, and it wasn't a source close to the conversation. Ohio State, you have been pretty your entire existence. This coming December, I think we're going to see an exception. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
When I saw the news on the crawl, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, that Clay Helton had been named head coach at USC, because I knew him. I got to know him actually pretty well because he was at Memphis for a minute. Remember, I did Conference USA games on CSS Game of the Week for, what, 8 seasons or 7 seasons? And so, I mean, I'm going to tell you the first two thoughts when I saw that news. Oh, my gosh, what a great guy. And I say it all the time, good things for good people. I'm a fan, man. I love when that happens. First thought in my mind was, what a great guy. Second thought was, that might be a bit much. It might be. Turns out that I guess 5-6 years later, either it has been proven out or it got to that point, and he is out. Want to welcome on right now, guy we've had on before who does a tremendous job covering USC football. And I'm telling you, folks, in a market as big as Los Angeles, it ain't that easy to find somebody who covers or a site that covers USC football at an elite level. And it USCfootball.com is the website. This is Ryan Abraham. Ryan, brother, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, and I agree with you. I think Clay Helton's one of the nicest guys around, especially in this industry. You know, how coaches can be, but he was in over his head, I think, from the very beginning. It just took a long time for USC administration to get here.
All right. Well, I'm glad that I was at least close to the bullseye on that one. Let's talk about outside impressions, because, again, you're out there in L.A., and, you know, we're, you know, 15,000 miles away. I'm going to tell you my impression every single April, every single August is, wow, that is a loaded roster. There is talent running around everywhere on that team. And then in December, it doesn't equal quite as much as I think it should. Is that a fair evaluation, or are we overestimating the roster from afar?
No, I think, we do at 24/7 Sports like a talent composite ranking. You take all the recruiting rankings from everyone on your roster, not from, you know, you don't say, well, they had a great class 2 years ago. If half the class transferred out, they look at the entire roster. And USC was, you know, in the beginning of Helton's tenure in the top four. And now they've dropped down to number 10, but they've been consistently the most talented roster in the Pac-12 until this year. Oregon just overtook them. And they've only won one Pac-12 championship in the last 12 years, which is absolutely insane. But they've underachieved tremendously. And it's just been that way. It's just been a mediocre program where USC has the potential to be, you know, the Alabama of the West Coast without the kind of competition around that Alabama has. So they've really, you almost have to try to screw it up when you're at USC, and that's what we've been seeing for the last decade or so.
What was his shortcoming? Why didn't it work out? I mean, I can't put my finger on it why I thought that back in 15 when he started, but I looked at it. I mean, it's almost like when Rich Rod went to Michigan. I was like, let's see. You know, it was just one of those feelings. Why do you think it didn't, like, tangibly work out?
Well, I mean, he's someone that never had head coaching experience. And to be honest, I mean, it wasn't like he was a guru offensive coordinator. He wasn't like Lincoln Kennedy that you were like, oh, my God, this guy's the best offensive coordinator in the country. Those are the kind of offensive coordinators you promote to become head coaches. So he sort of was at the right place at the right time when USC had such a screw up, you know, in the head coaching seat with Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin before that. They've just made bad decision after bad decision. And he got the job because he was stable. He was the adult in the room, is what they said. And he was someone that was just going to be happy to be there. He wasn't going to push back. I think you have to really have an alpha personality to be in this job. You don't have to be a jerk. We've seen jerks succeed. But you need to be someone that's like pushing the envelope and really fighting for everything. He was just going to be someone that would take whatever the administration gave him and just kind of, you know, you're like, you're hoping to win. And I just don't think you can win in college football nowadays. You have to be an alpha. And, you know, Clay, nicest guy in the world, but he just wasn't that alpha personality.
Back when Texas was at its most dysfunctional, which, I mean, that's a major accomplishment. But when UT was at its most dysfunctional, everybody would ask, what's wrong with, you know, Charlie Strong or whomever? And I was like, guys, look upstairs. I like Steve Patterson. Come on. Again, from afar, my view of all the former players who were coming through as athletic director, I mean, it was almost like a retirement home. Was that criticism warranted, or did Hayden and Swan and Garrett and everybody do a pretty good job?
It's a great assessment there. Look upstairs is what, you know, why did you hire someone? I'm not going to blame Clay Helton. If someone offered you an amazing job, you take it. Like, you're going to make $5 million. Yes, you take it. It's not Clay Helton's fault. It's the administration's fault. I mean, they had these fiefdoms around USC that just was like a country club, and they didn't want a repeat of Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll ran the show, and the people that were in the administration didn't want that to happen. So they weren't going to hire an alpha head coach. And when they brought in athletic directors, they did these, search firms and stuff. And you're like, you bring in Pat Hayden. Has he been an athletic director before? No, but he played football at USC. Like, okay. Like, really, not, there's no correspondence there, and he was terrible. And then they bring in Lynn Swann, who was even worse. He wasn't even around USC. He was, like, living in his basement in Pennsylvania somewhere, and they just bring him out. And he had no interest in talking to people. He had no interest in, smoozing boosters. They just made horrible hires there, and it really let everyone else in the athletic department kind of run the show. So, yeah, the fish rots from the head down. I mean, that's exactly what happened at USC.
What about now? Stability, at least? Stop the bleeding?
Yeah, I like Mike Bone. They at least went outside and hired someone that's been an athletic director before, and he's done a good job at Cincinnati, and he was at Colorado before. They fixed a lot of problems that were around the athletic department. But the main job, as you know, is going to be who do you hire as the head coach? And, it probably took them a couple, 2 years, 2 years too long to fire Clay Helton, but I get it that Lynn Swann gave him this crazy extension. It was going to be really hard financially to fire him, but they've done it now. They got a lot of time to search for the head coach. So I think his whole tenure will be judged on who this hire ends up being. So, I think it's a lot more stable now. I think they've made better decisions and made the actual head coaching job at USC more attractive because of the resources they provided, where they just were not doing as much when Clay Helton was hired.
I think the number was $12 million, and that I saw. And is that accurate? $12 million for Clay Helton
to buy out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we were told is it was back in 2018, and I think it was February 2018. Lynn Swann gave him a fully guaranteed 5-year extension with a 40% raise, and Jimmy Sexton completely fleeced USC. But from my estimation, it's probably about $5 million a year with 2 years left. But there's also like a 30-something percent. Bonus on top of that for benefits and stuff. So my guess is 12 to 15 million is probably what they're going to pay out. But a couple of years ago, it was going to be 25 or 30. I mean, it was going to be a lot more. So I think that's why they weren't going to buy him out, which is just dumb. No one was trying to hire Clay Helton away. The fact that Lynn Swann gave him that kind of fully guaranteed extension was just – it's just baffling how bad of a decision that was.
Oh, Ryan, right? You bring up Jimmy Sexton. There are ADs all throughout the SEC that say $12 million, that's so precious. In fact, like Auburn last year – now, this is the again, impression from, several states east. Auburn decides we had enough of Gus, $21 million. They could pass the hat at halftime in the Iron Bowl and get $21 million. How difficult is it for USC to pick up the phone and say, we want checks between $50,000 and $100,000, we're looking for $12 million total?
I think they're doing pretty good with that. They just wanted some the fans wanted some kind of hope, and the boosters wanted some kind of hope. The problem was USC brought in a new president. They had a lot of other scandals that were outside of the athletic department. Of course, the Varsity Blues, was right in the middle of that. But, they had the dean of the medical school. There were so many scandals were going on.
Had celebrity parents going to the clinker because of USC, didn't they?
They did, yes. So, I mean, Aunt Becky going to jail because getting her daughters into USC. So they had a lot of other problems going on, too. So even just like if someone handed them a check, here's $25 million, buy them out a couple of years ago. They had other problems going on that were, and the university, the university make a ton of money. Obviously, sports is important. We talk about it, but it's like a drop in the bucket when you're talking about these endowments for the school. So they had other problems going on, too. It's sort of like a perfect storm. And Clay Helton was like, yes, was he the right guy for the job? No, but there was so much dysfunction around him. He sort of wasn't like the low-hanging fruit you could get rid of.
All right, last thing. We got like 60 seconds left. Quick comment. Is anybody noticing what is going on with Chip across town?
He I thought he would be a great hire. It took him a while. Redid the entire roster. But he's built that program in the mold he wanted.
And they run it.
Legit. Yeah, they look legit. The running concepts are great. The defense is playing tough. They brought in a lot of transfers. I really like what Chip Kelly's doing. I thought he'd be better, but it took a little while to get it going. But I think UCLA is going to be someone to be reckoned with in the coming years.
Well, Ryan, I'm being genuine, man. If there's a belt for covering USC football, you've got it right now. It's just really great, and I appreciate you being up sort of early out yonder to give us a call, brother. Thanks so much, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Ryan Abraham again, uscfootball.com. That's a 24/7 site is exact. I got the thumbs up from Dan. 24/7 site. And I'm not being facetious. It's hard to find a lot of folks who cover USC football. They'll cover the Dodgers. They don't necessarily cut. Like what I said, you. In fact, that I was. Does anybody cover? Is anybody noticing what Chip's doing at UCLA? That was part of the conversation when he took that job versus whatever overtures, and I don't know what they were or weren't from the University of Florida. We'll find out. You know, like really, when everybody isn't working anymore. So that I have no idea, but my understanding part of the conversation was he. He actually, even if Florida had offered and it was millions more, and he said, UCLA, I want to be off everyone's radar. Like, who was really paying attention to Oregon football until Chip forced you to pay attention? So what he's got going on yonder down there with the Bruins, it is impressive for sure.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open! Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now, more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We roll on a Tuesday, Chuck Oliver Show, 9 states, 54 sticks. About to turn, oh gosh, next week we got a birthday. Another candle on the cupcake. We turned 7. 7 years. We started back at the beginning of the 14 season, so yay for us. LSU won this past Saturday night, 34-7. I don't believe my opinion of LSU is any different than it was right after LSU had lost 38-27 the previous week. I don't think that any wound was salved by beating McNeese State 34-7. I don't know that. Now, you can come out and drop a 70 burger on somebody. And I've seen Ohio State and Oklahoma did it, didn't they? Western Carolina this past weekend? You serve up a 70 burger? Okay. That's a little different. Especially if it's against a team that, you know, competes in Division One. Central Michigan, I don't know how different I'll feel about LSU if they win 34-7 this Saturday as well. That's me from afar. I want to welcome on a good friend of the program from 104.5 out yonder in Baton Rouge. He's all throughout the state, Alexandria, New Orleans, et cetera, on television as well. It is my good friend Matt Moscona. Matt, how are you, man?
I'm good, Chuck. Thanks, man.
Do you feel any did you Saturday night when your head went on the pillow, did you feel any differently about LSU after beating McNeese State than you did after losing to UCLA?
I actually kind of felt a little worse. So the caveat is going into that game, I don't think there's anything that LSU could have done to make you feel better when you play an FCS opponent. Like, nothing that you saw against UCLA would be cured against McNeese. You either are sort of satiated or you feel worse. And, Chuck, LSU's offensive line not getting a push against an FCS school, that just reinforced how bad they are at that position, man.
Why is
that
the case?
They were without three starters. They were without three starters, but it shouldn't matter. When you're recruiting four- and five-star scholarship linemen to LSU, and you can't get a push. And, Chuck, they had a fourth and one, man. They decided to go for it on a quarterback sneak and got no push. Max Johnson got pushed back into the backfield and fumbled. I mean, that's – you just start to think, what's it going to look like when you play A&M and Bama and Florida and Auburn and Arkansas and Mississippi State, and it just – it's really hard to find the positives out of that.
You know, in the NFL, I've always said one of the differences, and you tell me if you agree with this, if I said one of the differences in offensive line between Saturdays and Sundays, in the NFL, guys, they don't pay you to run block. You're kind of on your own as a running back in the NFL. You are paid $18 million a year to protect the quarterback. That is the only reason they give out contracts to offensive linemen. I said it's different on Saturdays. You're supposed to kind of blast open some holes against specifically some particular opponents. I think the running backs are kind of on their own right now, for what I've seen. And as you said, even against McNeese State, can you tell anything about the running backs who have played so far?
That's kind of the problem. You know, Ty Davis Price is a veteran guy who I think is maybe a good SEC back, but he's a step slow, man. He's kind of a one-cut-and-get-up-the-field guy. He's not going to make you miss. John Emery would be the home run hitter that can make you miss, but we found out yesterday he's academically ineligible. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
His family is fighting it, so we'll see. But, you know, Armani Goodwin's a freshman who looked really good, Chuck. I mean, his first carry of the season, they gave it to him around left end. He found a hole, burst it through it for 21 yards, and then came up limping on the sideline. And then Corey Kiner is another freshman who's got maybe a little bit of Geis in him, like a really aggressive at the point of attack runner, but still a raw. Like, they didn't feel confident enough to even give him a touch against UCLA. So it's weird, man. It's really weird to look at an LSU team that doesn't have a running back where you go, yep, that's the guy. Just feed that guy, and he's going to make it happen. And they just don't seem to have that guy right now.
Oh, brother, you know what I got used to? And you've been an LSU fan going back how far?
I mean, my entire life.
Okay.
I mean, I was born in it.
I remember, like, beating my shoe on the table for Ali Broussard, saying, I'm telling you, he's going to be the best of those four. And then he hurt his knee and had to quit. And then I was like, right. Keelan Williams. I was like, he's going to be the best of all four of them. You know, give Alfred Blue some more carries. Now, I literally, you know what my next question that I sketched down was? What about Trey Bradford? Can he play this week? He's a kid who was at Oklahoma 10 days ago.
Yeah, and Ed Ogeron did say, what a weird story, man. Bradford signed with LSU in 2020. He was a freshman on the team last year. Actually had a touchdown catch in the upset against Florida in the shoe toss game, but only had 10 carries all year, transferred out of here, went to Oklahoma, and before he ever took a snap, transferred back to LSU, and apparently they got him eligible for this week. So maybe that's the make-you-miss kind of guy that can also catch the ball. I mean, Bradford was also a guy that, you know, while he was at Oklahoma for a bit, was working not only at running back but at receiver, and they're desperate for someone that can catch the ball out of the backfield, Chuck, as sort of an extension of this running game. Maybe Bradford can be that guy, but this is sort of the problem, right? When you're counting on a guy who played sparingly for you last year and was, you know, the third back at Oklahoma and left before taking a snap, and now you're saying, you know, 1 week back and we're counting on you for big plays, it kind of illustrates the issue that they have right now.
Damone Clark, does he make plays or does he make tackles?
Yeah, he kind of makes tackles. Look, I think, Chuck,
that's not a complaint, by the way. That's fine.
You and I think probably had this conversation at some point, but I think Damone Clark is going to be a better — it was Jabril Cox last year. Damone Clark is going to be a better pro than he is a college linebacker, because he's going to be a guy that on third down can run out on the field, cover the backs of the tight ends, get out in space, nab a tackle for loss. He's just not a three down linebacker because he can't play in the middle. It's really odd, but he doesn't have the instincts to shed a block of a big guard and make a play on the interior. You want to stretch him sideline to sideline, make a play, he could do it. I think he'll be really good at that in the NFL. But in this defense, LSU hasn't found the Kendall Beckwith, the Devin White, the Jacob Phillips. Devin White is obviously an outlier, is a freak show, but that guy who's a thumper in the middle that can also run, that can be a three down backer. They just don't have that guy on this roster. They got Mike Jones in from Clemson, and he wanted to try to be that guy, but it's pretty clear as of right now they don't trust him to be that guy yet, because he didn't play against UCLA and played only in the second half against against McNeese this past weekend.
Andre Anthony, he did it last year in a weird season when there were snaps available, but he did it last year against an all-SEC schedule. He got a little fat the other night, stats-wise, against McNeese. Yeah. But what's he going to be? Is he going to be like Arden Key early or Arden Key late?
Somewhere in between. I mean, Arden Key was an All-American in 2017, and he was spectacular, you know, and then obviously had his off-the-field issues, gained a little weight, and, you know, his NFL career hasn't gone the way many thought it might whenever he was blowing up in 2017. But Andre Anthony, if there's one thing working against him from the next level, Chuck, he's a sixth-year guy, so he's going to be a little older by the time he gets to the league. But the problem Arden Key had is in Dave Aranda's defense, he was a tweener. He wasn't big enough to be a 3-4 end. You know, he wasn't really fast enough to be an outside linebacker. He's a hand in the dirt, 4-3 defensive end, get up the field. And when they switched last year with Pelini to a 4-3, it probably benefited a guy like Andre Anthony more than anybody else on the roster. So he's doing now what is natural to him, which is put your hand in the dirt and get up the field. And I think he's going to have a great year, and someone's going to give him a shot in the NFL, and hopefully he can play for a long time if he stays healthy. But he's got to be used to his skill set, and that's, like we said, 4-3 and hand in the dirt. He can do that, and he's doing it effectively, and I suspect he will for the rest of this year.
Just real quick, Hines and Deculus, who all is going to be back maybe this week?
Yeah, Hines will be back, but the two tackles, Deculus and Wire, they're both going to be out again. So the interior of LSU's line, the center and the two guards, the starters will be in, but two new tackles again this week.
Okay. Again, I don't know anything about offensive line in college, but I don't know. I don't want to, you know, get my feet wet for the season against Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida. I mean, it looks like Ole Miss is playing defense. What's the threat level of Central Michigan on Saturday? Have you already done a peek?
Yeah, man, Central Michigan opened up against Missouri, and so I got to watch it. And McElwain, so that's Jim McElwain, who was the Florida coach, who's now at Central Michigan, for those who don't know.
They played Mizzou tough.
He had an appendectomy and wasn't even there for that game. And that was a 4-point game in the fourth quarter, like Mizzou, or a 3-point game. I think Mizzou added a late touchdown to make it a 10-point margin, but, like, it was not really that. It was a close game. They ran the ball for like 300 yards this past weekend.
They got the big kid from Washington at quarterback.
Yeah, man, LSU's a 20-point favorite, and they should win. If LSU can't block, you're a few awful, awkward turnovers away from being in a really tense game in the fourth quarter. And I hope they find a way to write some wrongs this week and generate a running game, but man, until I see it, it's just hard to convince me that it's going to happen.
Wow, that is about as lukewarm, arm's length. We may win by 20, but I don't know what it'll make me think.
Chuck, I just did a podcast with T-Bob Hebert, and we both went through the schedule and picked the remaining games for LSU. He and I both picked LSU 5-7 on the year. I mean, I think they'll play their best game at some point. You know, and I hope it's against a good SEC team and they manage to get a really nice win like they did last year against Florida. It's just so – because their flaws
– if the offensive line doesn't work, it can take apart everything you're trying to do.
That's exactly the point. And I don't know how they don't have depth, and the starters aren't playing great, and I don't know how that gets better. You can't go hit the waiver wire, man. It's – you know, you can't go sign a free agent. You can't make a trade. You're stuck with what you got, and what you got probably isn't good enough this year.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. And we will check in as the games get a little more important as we go through the season, all right?
All right, Chuck. I'll see you, man.
All right. Matt Moscone, 104.5 and back. I almost feel like he needs Josh Pastner's voicemail. I've told you, go look it up online. You need to listen to it. Maybe Dan will tweet out a link to it if it's on YouTube or something. On the Chuck Oliver Show account, that Josh Pastner, Georgia Tech men's head basketball coach, I was having it because I knew about his voicemail, and I was having it. I needed to be coached up one day, and he did that. I think Matt Moscone needs to be coached up today by Josh Pastner. Jacob Sermon is the kid. I said that big old kid from Washington. Jacob Sermon was playing quarterback for UW a little bit. not much, but a little bit, which is why he transferred. He was a four-star. Now, he's the quarterback at Central Michigan. If you have a quarterback, you've always got a chance, even if you don't have a very good team. When you have a good team and you have a quarterback, you're Ole Miss, and you're going to the SEC title game, if not for that guy stepping on Eli's foot. At least I think that's how it would have gone. Central Michigan may have a quarterback now. 6'5", 230 pounds, Jacob Sermon. So just a big, strong-arm kid that I did not remember at all from Washington, which is – and I even did one a game that Washington played where he was on the sidelines at least. But I didn't know anything about him until I was watching the Central Michigan-Mizzou opener, and I saw a big old tall kid who can even move on the ground a little bit. And like I said, just real strong arm, deliver it downfield. And so Central Michigan, when you got a quarterback and then some other talent around you, you got a shot at that point. All right, we're going to break. Come back, wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
For those guys to come into an environment like this today to play a really good football team and to withstand everything that we withstood, to just never flinch, keep playing, keep battling, and then find a way to win that game in the fourth quarter. Unbelievable, man. That is a hell of a happy locker room in there right now, and rightfully so.
Shane Beamer, head coach of the undefeated, unranked, but undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. They went over to Greenville, North Carolina on Saturday and beat East Carolina. I told you, fun environment. If there's ever any reason, and by the way, there won't be. Almost certainly there won't be. If there's ever any reason for you to be on campus at East Carolina, do it. Absolutely. And when I say there won't be, I'm trying to think of the programs that don't have to play at Dowdy-Ficklin that have done it. So they, like I said, they got it done 20-17, and it was a comeback, by the way. I think they were down with 14-0 maybe. And then Zeb Nolan, they make some plays and they're running the ball with not even the third team guy. It was Juju McDowell. Isn't that the kid? And so got all the way down in field goal range, boom, game winner. And so South Carolina gets the dub 20-17. Saturday, and again, it wasn't neutral site, because normally when you, like Virginia Tech, in fact, and he may have been on the staff even, Shane Beamer. I'm going to say to kick off the 2008 season, and I have not Googled my computer, so I don't know this. I think Virginia Tech played East Carolina, but it was in Charlotte. It was a neutral site game. When we have seen ECU maybe play North Carolina before, that might have been in Chapel Hill, or it could have been in Charlotte. This was on campus, and so good for them. So South Carolina gets the dub there, but I'm trying to think of other programs. I might have seen Wake Forest play on campus there. I can't remember. Basically, programs don't have to play, but do. That would be the only reason you would have, you know, if you ever have a reason, that would be the reason. Can I tell you the out of the blue, strange, just if you didn't already know this, you're going to think I made this up. But you can look it up. Do you know the one night of the year, even if it's on, not even on a Saturday, Not even a football game going on. Do you know the one night of the year that I have been told, and I experienced it almost. I have been told by folks I trust, one night a year that you want to be in Greenville, North Carolina, on the campus of East Carolina? Halloween. That's their thing. St. Patrick's Day is everywhere, but Savannah, Georgia, apparently claimed it. Like, we're going to plant our flag, and that's where it is. Fat Tuesday can exist everywhere, but New Orleans is like, yeah, we're taking it. In fact, it started in Mobile, didn't it? Yeah, Mardi Gras. In fact, I know it did. Halloween apparently has been claimed specifically by ECU's student body, I guess, or the college town around there. And I did a game on a Saturday where I think it was the 30th. And so obviously Halloween was the next night, but a lot of the shenanigans were going on right then. So I almost was there for it. But I got in my car and drove as fast as I could to get back to my Hampton Inn in Wilson, North Carolina, to see whatever the night game was. I think it was CBS running a doubleheader. So that was my experience. And you're leaving? I was like, yeah, I got to work. There's football on TV. Well, you just did a game. I was, no, there's football on TV, though. So I got to go. Oh, we're known for Halloween. And I was like, what? It's like, oh, yeah, we do Halloween better than anyone. I literally put my bag down. I was like, I'm all ears. I was like, there's traffic anyway. I was like, I got a few minutes. Tell me about this. And that is where they plant their flag, at East Carolina. Sandra Bullock, ECU grad. Yeah. Vince McMahon, ECU grad. Man, he wrote a check, too. He giving him some money. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, that's interesting stuff.
Now, hang on. Is it?
That Vince McMahon or Ed McMahon?
That Vince McMahon actually gave them money because...
That's got to be a David question, because David's the wrestling guy, and I don't want to impose. So, Sup Dogs is also supposedly the America's best college bar, according to Barstool Sports. 2 times running. So that's
there. At ECU?
Yeah, at ECU. Right. So they've got that going for them as well, which is nice. Speaking of the guy that we just heard from right there, don't you get major Ted Lasso vibes from Shane Beamer and what he brings? And, it's positivity, but it's not so much positivity where you're kind of like, all right, coach, easy. It's not always this great all the time. But remember what I said yesterday about Arkansas, because I think to a smaller scale, South Carolina kind of fits that same mold. Arkansas has a little bit more tradition in terms of national relevance and also going for national titles and being able to play in huge games. South Carolina was kind of just that 3-year stretch that they had, maybe even 4, that they were from 2010 to 2013, and that was the recruiting they were able to do, and then also, too, the wins that they were able to get. And Williams-Brice was one of the funnest environments in all of college football. He's trying to get that back. And I think in large part, he is starting to kind of tap into that a little bit, because I think that Shane Beamer looked at the South Carolina fan base and just the look towards the athletic department as a whole and said, yeah, there does need to be a little bit of a jolt. Baseball used to be a huge thing at South Carolina. It has not been for some time. They made the Final Four run in 2015, I believe it was, for basketball of Frank Martin. But still, that has started to slouch a little bit. Women's basketball is still pretty good. But as a whole, he realized this is a fan base that needs to feel good again. This is a fan base that wants to feel good again. They want to have Sandstorm mean something inside Williams-Brice Stadium. They want to be able to point to certain players that not only make a difference on Saturdays, but then they make it to the pros, and you can say, yeah, hey, they're Carolina made. They're one of us. That's who those guys are. That's what he's trying to tap into right now. And that's what I believe that rejoin we had right there was part of, is he was saying, hey, you feel good right now. You should feel good right now. Let's continue to feel good. And soon enough, it's being able to get in front of prospects out there and say, hey, South Carolina is the right place for you. You can come to Williams-Brice and make it what it was when Jadeveon Clowney was on the field and Connor Shaw was playing quarterback and all those different types of things. I think in order to get to that, they're going to need to really corner the market on transfers and graduate transfers to kind of ford the river until you can get to that Eden of sorts. But until then, I think you got the right guy who can maybe tap into what you had during that time.
Transfer market is an opportunity to make up for a lack of in-state recruits, because a fourth-year, fifth-year, sixth-year guy, he doesn't care about your program. He cares about his last go-round, his last chance to get tape. So that's why the transfer market, you know, when you were talking about the 4 years, see, everybody forgets the 11-win seasons. There was a season before that. That's the season they actually won the East Division with only 10 wins. So much of that was fueled by in-state players. And if you don't have those, and if you can't keep them away from Clemson, well, your only other shot is a transfer portal.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.